Окей. Аллилуйя.
Здорово, здорово. Matthew 28. Это наш стих. Our Bible, Matthew 28, from verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He says, Go therefore and make disciples of every nation. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. In Mark 16, from verse 15, he said to them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Say, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. Did you see that? And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, rather. They will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. He said they will take off serpents. And if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. That will be verse 20 of Mark 16 will be 20 of Matthew 28, right? Right? Lo, I am with you always. The Lord walking with, right? And confirming the word with signs following. Luke 24, from verses 45. Okay, I'll read 46. And he said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin be preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He said, And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. John 20. John 20, 22. You there? He said, And he said to them, and when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, look at what he said in verse 21. He says, And he said to them, Peace unto you, as my Father hath sent me. You see that? So send I you. Now, how has the Father sent him? What was his work? Right? What was his work? His work was that of making them believe. Did you see that? He now says, So send I you. Hallelujah. He then says, And when you have said it, the breath on them receive the Holy Ghost. That was the point. Now, that was the teaching, right? Receive the Holy Ghost. Whoever sins ye, remit and remitted unto you, unto them, brother. And whosoever sins ye, whosoever ye retain, I retain. The word sins there is italicized. Hallelujah. So, we'll be looking at this for a while. Hallelujah. Now, we said this will be the closing instructions of Jesus, right, to his disciples. Now, watch something closely. Within the 40, within his earthly work, the instructions in the 40 days are the same. You know, Luke will make us see that in verse 44, he said, These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. So that means Jesus' instructions in his walk with them 33 years, or 30 years, whichever of the two, is it will be the same. His instructions will be the same. Hallelujah. In Luke 10, he sent them out to preach. This is like Matthew 10, he sent them out to preach. It's the same thing. Glory to God. So, this is his closing remark, captured by the different writers of the synoptic. Though, in different forms, yet it is the same, right? We say it's the same instruction. Now, what is the instruction? Go make disciples. That is the entry into discipleship and what happens in discipleship, right? Okay. So, if these are the instructions, if this will be the closing remarks of Jesus, then this will be the instructions of Scripture, because Luke has shown us that Jesus was reading from the Scriptures. Are you following me? Jesus was reading from the Scriptures. Luke 24 from verses 25. It says, O full slug, have to believe in all the prophets. And when he says all the prophets, he makes reference to the 39 books. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Have spoken. He says, all of the Christ. So that means to have suffered these things and to rise from the dead the third day. That is to say, that is what, now you could summarize the 39 books as that. That is, beginning at Moses. You see that? So Jesus will start from Moses. Something we will see later on today. Hallelujah. So Jesus, so that means Jesus read from the scriptures. That means that instruction will be instructions of the scriptures. Hope you're following me. That will be instructions of the scriptures. Look at verse 44. He said, these are the words I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. So you always make reference to the 39 books. Did you see that? Just always write from that. In John, when you get to John 5, verse 39 says, you search the scriptures. He said, in them you think you have eternal life. So that means they have the scriptures right from then. Even before then, but they had the scriptures. Hallelujah. What are the scriptures? Matthew, Genesis down to Malachi. Hope you're following me. Now you get to 44. He shows you that that scripture was referring to was actually Moses' writing. Right? For verse 45, he says, do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. He says, there is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. He says, if you believe Moses, did you see that? You will believe me. We're going to see why the reference on Moses. We're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah. But take this from me. Hallelujah. So that means the instructions of Jesus will be instructions of scriptures. Right? And we said scriptures is what? Scriptures is theology. So that means this is, we said scriptures is theology, that still you can't have theology outside the scriptures. Right? Right? Theology explained outside the scriptures is not theology. It's idol worship. Hope you're following me. It's foreign God. It's bad. You can have theology outside scriptures. Your knowledge about God, if it is outside the scriptures, Genesis down to Revelation, you don't have a revelation of God. It's idol worship. Then no, it may seem a sin. Your experience has taught you that idol worship goes beyond an image. An image, or goes beyond a physical image. An image goes into your intellect, into your experience. You can idolize your experience. What are you following? You can. So idol worship goes that far. So say, this is my experience. So I don't know what you are reading. Oh, you know, I was talking to someone some few days back. Close to 2 weeks. I said, see, you cannot just see, this is not an experience. No. I'm not trying to dispute your experience, but when you put your experience vis-a-vis God's word, and you don't have a bearing, you must be ready to let it go. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. It might have been your experience. But make sure first you put it on the satellite of God's word. If not, if you keep holding on to those experiences and neglecting the word of God, you are idolizing your experience. Hope you're following me. I've told you several times. Hallelujah, I've got experiences. But I don't live my Christian life, my Christian faith, on my experiences. Alone. Hope you're hearing me. You want to go? I was sharing someone years back, I remember this very well. See, today, most times when I stand and I talk, most times, even when I'm not even preaching, right, I have this burning sensation. I'm not going to keep it here. I have that burning sensation, but I don't make it, okay, when I don't feel that burning sensation, that means I don't, that the Holy Ghost has left. No! Hallelujah! That is experience! Oh, you're following me. So most times, in your worship of God, you have experiences, right? Right? But you don't idolize it. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. You don't idolize it. No, don't. Glory to God. Glory to God. So let's go further a bit. So, we said, since scripture is theology, therefore, and Jesus is God. No, we shouldn't be debating that. Jesus is God. Right? God and man is in our song. God and man who died for man. Okay, sense community song. Right? And he rose as a man. For I go and claim what is not my own, but it is our own in Christ. Hallelujah. Right? It's not our own in Christ. But recognize who sang it. Sense community church. Okay, let's go ahead a bit. Now, Jesus is God. So therefore, the instructions of Jesus, which is instructions of the scriptures, will be called or will be God's instructions, right? We have the God's instructions. Okay. Okay. Can we say this will be instructions in theology? Right? To be instructions in theology. Good, it sounds nice. To be carried out by man, right? And I've always said God will always use man. Right? God will always use man. Let us get back to Luke. Let's get back to Luke. God will always use man. Luke will show us something that's very vital. Luke will tell us that, see, what Jesus did in terms of how, what Jesus did was to explain their language. He uses the word expound, diamineo, hallelujah. Because over time, language has evolved. You see that? Language has evolved. Though in the days of Jesus, in Israel, or the Jews, though they had their Jewish language, but they spoke dominantly what Greek. Hope you're hearing me. And also have the Aramaic, like today in our world, in Nigeria. What do we speak? English. And this part we speak vernacular. So the Aramaic, Aramaic was like a vernacular of their days, right? But majorly they spoke Greek. So Jesus, listen, not just that they spoke Greek, they have, during or before the days of Jesus, they had what they called the Septuagint. The Septuagint wasn't written by Jesus. Some people are going to see, okay, let me just show you. The Septuagint, why is it called Septuagint? What is Septuagint? Mm-hmm. What is it, something is a pentagon is five? When you hear Septuagint, it has to do with seven. 70. It's 70. Septuagint. So that means, listen, I want to show you something. Now, I hope you're listening to me. It shows you the rigor in translation. The Septuagint was not translated by one man. It was translated by 70. That was why they called it Septuagint. 70 people. So, no one person holds the key to interpretation. To translation. Hope you're following me. It was done by 70 people. So Jesus would use the Septuagint, right? Like today we have the King James. The King James translation is not done by one person. No, it's a group of translators. What are you following me? NIV is not by one group of translators. One person doesn't sit down and have a monopoly of translation. No. What are you following me? Very important. It's always done in groups, by people. So it shows you the rigor. Sometimes you might have an opinion to a translation, but you have to subject it to several other indices. Hope you are following me. So that becomes very pivotal, very vital in translation. Glory to God. Hope you are following me. Now let's look at something. Septuagint. So Jesus used the Septuagint. Not just that he used the Septuagint, Jesus would also read from the original Hebrew translation. Just to, like today in our world, we have the KJV, NIV, New Living, Old King James, right? Holy Bible. No, it's not. It's not a translation. Revised Standard Version, RSV, right? Those. Translations. We're going to get to them soon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, come on. So when scriptures were written first, they were written in Hebrew. I need you to pay attention to this. Hallelujah. I need you to pay the utmost attention to what I'm telling you now. When scriptures were written, they were written in Hebrew. So, what Jesus will do is that Jesus will read. who teach both with the Septuagint and the Hebrew Bible. And what Jesus was doing, was doing what every other prophet will do after Moses. Am I following? We're going to get there. Was doing what every other prophet would do after Moses. Like that, the prophet that comes after Moses will interpret from Moses. The person that comes after the prophet that interpreted from Moses will interpret from the prophet before and then interpret from Moses. It's just like that. You follow the sequence. Remember, he told us the last time that it was like a discussion. We hope you remember. Right? It was like a discussion. Two people from two different worlds that never met themselves, but yet they wrote as if they were writing to themselves. Hallelujah. So Moses is writing, and then Isaiah picks it up. Isaiah wrote, right? Jeremiah picks it up, right, from Isaiah, and then who picks from Jeremiah? You have Daniel. You hope you are seeing that. So you find that discussion from people from different worlds. Hallelujah. So you must read scripture like a conversation. Hallelujah. A conversation. So Jesus would do the same thing every other prophet has done. Hallelujah. Why would we follow that sequence? Because he is the Messiah. He is the Christos. I hope you are seeing that. So that means, listen to this. What we're going to say now, that means God will subject himself to what his principle. You don't want to say, I'm God. He's not going to say, I don't know the GMV. Scrap all the protocol you've created. No. He followed it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, let's go further again. Amen. We're discussing the local church and my spiritual growth. It's still part of it. Hallelujah. Is it part of the local church? Amen. So, let's look at something. So I said, Jesus will follow the same pattern, right? So therefore, okay, the same pattern. Look at Nehemiah 8:8. Look at what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah 8:8. Are you with me? Okay, are you there? Look at what Ezra did, not Nehemiah, Ezra actually. It says, and they read in the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Did you see that? So Ezra, when he said the book of the law, that word law is the word Torah in the Hebrew, the word nomos in the Greek. The second thing we have is they read from the book of Moses, right? From the Torah, the Nomos. Okay, let's look at this. Now he read from Moses, right? Hallelujah. And he said he gave a sense. We're going to read shortly. We're going to read Hallmark's Bible to see what he said. Hallelujah. I'm going to read out the translation to you. Hallmark's Christian Standard Bible. Okay, now let's see something. Are you with me? He says, now, he said he gave a sense. We're going to look at that. So, in the days of Ezra, they spoke Hebrew like Moses. They spoke the same Hebrew. Who are following me? Like Moses. But it was over thousands of years. Right? Between Moses and Ezra. Right? Over a thousand. I've given us that figure before, right? Right? I sure have. Hallelujah. Thousands of years. Things have evolved. Right? Things have changed. Things have evolved. A lot of language has evolved. Things have changed. Yet, Ezra would have to interpret Moses' language to his audience. In the same language. Right? I've heard someone say the Yoruba they spoke in Nigeria in 1962, 1940, 1930. It's not the same Yoruba they are speaking again. I was laughing. And now. Amen? Someone said, how can you be speaking Yoruba? You are using Japa. They've added slangs in Yoruba. You understand what I'm trying to say? My Japan.
Amen.
Someone told me, that was yesterday, they now, Mark, and that you are done. It's time to Japa. I said, Japa, go away. So beautiful.
Glory to God.
You are who they share land. Not running to anywhere else. Amen?
Glory to God.
Where are we, John? Nehemiah. Yeah. Go with it. Now, keep sense to the audience. Okay? Now, so, because they were years apart, language has evolved, what would he do? Nehemiah would say he gave a sense. Right? He would have to translate language. So, here's the word to give a sense. Now, that word, means like he interpreted language. Hallelujah. So give a sense. So interpret. Hallelujah. So that means, that makes... Yeah, so you have to interpret Moses' language to his audience. So that makes the Bible student an interpreter. Every Bible student. Listen to me. Every Bible student. Everybody that... let me put it this way. Now, I'm just a Christian, not a Bible student. Every believer is an interpreter. Hope you're hearing me. Every believer should be an interpreter. So, an interpreter. So, what you have today as translations are actually interpretation. Oh, you have a KJV, NIV, Old King James, Hallmark, New Standard, Old Standard. They are all interpretations. Those are translations. No. Understand it. They are interpretations. Hallelujah. Interpretations. Now something you have to see here. And in doing so, in interpreting, you would have to translate language. Okay, follow me. In interpretation, you have to translate language. You have to cross the language barrier. Look at Hallmark Dictionary. That's a dictionary? Hallmark Bible. Hallmark Christian Standard Bible. I'll read Ezra 8:8 for you. Look at Ezra, Nehemiah 8:8. Look what it says. I want you to follow me now. It says, and they read out the book of the law of God, translating and giving the meaning so that the people would understand what was read. You see that? Translating and giving the meaning. So that is the role of one a Bible teacher. Right? Translating and giving the meaning. That is interpretation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, that is very vital. So Jesus would do the same thing. Right? Was it only Nehemiah that did it? Every other writer, right? Yes. Every other writer, every other prophet would have to do it. But as a king, as a king, the role of a king, if you read Deuteronomy, we're not going there today, the role of a king is to do what? Read the Torah and interpret. So a king is a teacher first. Something we're going to see. Hallelujah, to progress. Hallelujah.
The part of our curriculum for
pneumatical. So you see some of those things, right? Hallelujah. For pneumatical. We started it. When we said, I told you, we'll see the part of it today. Every leader in the local church is first, or every pastor is first a teacher.
Hallelujah.
That is why that argument that people have in Ephesians 4, where they say it's a fivefold ministry, fourfold ministry, it's just rubbish. Don't go. Don't fall for that. Hallelujah. Don't fall for that. It's a fivefold. So they know it's not five. It's for a pastor's teacher. I understand you, sir. Hallelujah. You are missing the main point. When you begin to attach such fivefold, fourfold, into someone, a young guy was asking me some weeks back, and he said, "Sir, what would you say about the fivefold ministry?" He was talking, and he mentioned fivefold ministry. I said, "See, from Ephesians 4, first of all, your barrier now, your barrier now is take away fivefold from your head. The chaplain has come to reveal it. Okay, sir, I've heard you say fourfold. I say reveal it too." Because before you begin to use such kind of words, you have to first of all understand what was the writer passion. He said, and he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. So take forth fivefold or fourfold out. Because when you have fivefold, you'll be thinking, if I enter into Saint Pavilion Church, I will see the pastor, Pastor Smart. He is going to be the apostle. Pastor Garaba will be the prophet, propheticon. Pastor Wisdom gives all you can see. Evangelist. Pastor Dixon. Pastor. Then Pastor Kubi. Teacher. So when you enter like that, that's the reason for don't you know that they have HCP? That is the 5-4. You miss it because you are sick. So you might be missing it. Hallelujah. Yeah, how did you get a 6-4 ministry? Don't worry, you get up. Because people like all those nonsense. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, see the way the writer has put it. And what has he put there? He has made you... No, we looked at that the last week. We said, first of all, see the way the writer has said it. Or has put it for you. This is the leadership. Hallelujah. You first of all see them first as... Those are offices. Do you understand me? And can we... Those offices, can it be... Can you have one person in all of this? In his practical year. So, I started something during Pneumaticus 1 and 2. I said the leader is who? The pastor. Hallelujah. Whatever what I told you, that is the leader of the local church. We have, in the book of Acts, they had the apostles. The apostles and everyone, but all of them were accountable to who? Their pastor. They had it. Oh, they're following me. Hey. So some saying this one is big, this one is not. No. So say no. Okay. I heard someone say, we operate in a fivefold ministry. We have an apostle. The apostle is the leader of all. No. Stop. Don't get into such useless arguments. Right? 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 Don't get into all those nonsense. Yeah, well, so it's just like going to argue. When Jesus turned water to wine, is it wine? Is it red wine? Is it alcoholic wine or juice? It's not only juice. Is it juice? No, it's not. It's fruit wine. It's not only fruit wine. It's Hollandia Lager. Nonsense. Can't you say such kind of nonsense? I've taught you that, right? Have you learned that?
So, right, that is fruit wine.
Ha! People can be funny. And people sat down and were arguing when they were going to be collecting their PVC. Feed up arguing! Sorry. Let's go ahead. Where were we? So, everybody did the same right from Moses. Even Moses, to make you know how important translation is, even Moses, in writing, we also, when Moses was writing Genesis to the Exodus audience, he was actually writing about theology, right? Was it theology? Is scripture theology?
That everybody look for.
Moses will not want to write Genesis. He will now write, when did we have trace of the Hebrew language? First Egypt, right? Look at it, Egypt. Now he writes, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, here's the word God. God, the word God, is an Hebrew name. Hope you're following me. It is a Hebrew word for God. Watch this. He goes again as he calls Adama. Adam. Adam is an Hebrew word. He goes again, he sees Abraham. Abraham is a Hebrew name. Yet Abraham wasn't Hebrew. How many follow me? He goes again and calls Isaac. Isaac is a Hebrew name. Yet Isaac is not Hebrew. He calls Jacob. Jacob and Hebrew name, yet not Hebrew. Noah, Hebrew name, yet not Hebrew. So what was he doing? Translation. So he writes the Hebrew meaning of that name. It's something we'll do advanced. We're going to do advanced interpretation, advanced hypnosis. You will see the reason for that. Hallelujah. Not in this class. You know what I'm talking about, women. Hallelujah.
Come on,
thank you for doing that. Now let's continue. Where were we? Okay, now. That employing of that such kind of name is now, how was he able to read? Translation. Hallelujah. That is translation. So even Moses will have to employ translation techniques. You know, that was the argument that Paul put forth to the church in Rome. He told them, you know, in Rome they had a device. The church in Rome, you know, Rome was the capital of Italy, was the major capital where the Roman ruled from. So we have both the Jews and the Gentiles. So the first argument Paul put forth, one of the arguments Paul put forth was the fact that Abraham was circumcised. When was he circumcised? While he was not yet a Jew. Did you see that? Okay, well, lady. Abraham was circumcised while he wasn't a Jew. So he was trying to show them that the gospel came from the Gentiles. So don't call it. So he's trying to tell them it is not a Jewish religion. How are you following me? Don't call it a, you know, some people say that nonsense and say what we have as Christianity is a white man religion. It's not true. How are you following me? I can lay traces to where you have black in the scripture from Genesis. And the gospel has been in Africa since then. So it's not important. So stop those nonsense. Hallelujah. We didn't match it to Revelation. Just within Matthew, even the book of Acts. Ethiopian Enoch is where? Africa. So stop saying that. Hallelujah. The Queen of Sheba was there, Africa. When she came to meet wisdom. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. When she came to meet Solomon to hear of wisdom, what was it? What do you think he came to hear of wisdom was? To be taught. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Moses married from where? He married from. Who was his father-in-law? Yeah, stop saying some funny things. No, it's important religion. Just laugh at them. Just laugh to scorn because they don't know anything. The reason for idol worship, I've always told you. I learned that from Pastor Shergo. The reason for idol worship from scripture, from Genesis 1, idol worship is rebellion. So wherever you see idol worship is because they are rebelling against the gospel. Wherever you see idol worship is because of unbelief. So when you see idol worship, just know the gospel has been here. Are you following me? Just know that the gospel has been there. So don't say, because I've not got here, shut up! Amen? Right? Thou shine in the light. Right? Right? To shine in the light. Glory to God. Amen. My note. Come back to my note. So where were we? Maybe it's because I missed you guys for some days.
For yesterday.
Also, where were we? Okay.
Abraham, so what he did was
translation. Using the name Abraham. Using the name Isaac was translation. So let me look at this. So that means you cannot take away language translation from scripture. You can't take it away. You can't take away translation from how you read the scriptures. You can't take it away. You can't take away translation from interpretation of scriptures. Hallelujah. You can't. Amen. Glory to God. And in translating scriptures, there are principles. I said first is one, okay, first, a scripture cannot mean today what the writer never intended it to mean when it was first written. Hallelujah. A scripture cannot mean today what the writer never intended. We have a lot of those misconceptions around. Hallelujah. Say when Moses was writing about a man should not put on that opportunity to a woman, we're talking about trouser and skirt. Look at your life. Is your life not trouser and skirt? Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have to sit in the seat of the first audience. That should be the second. The seat of the first audience when they first heard the word and interpret it first in their world. Did you see that? Interpret scripture first in their world and apply it to your world today. Interpret it first in their world. Because you are sitting in their seat. So you have to interpret it seat first in their world, then you then apply it.
So if your interpretation is wrong, your application of scriptures will be wrong. You can have a wrong interpretation and the right application.
Your interpretation
is wrong. Hallelujah. If your interpretation of scripture is wrong, automatically.
Hallelujah. If your interpretation is wrong, automatically, your application will be wrong.
For example, the church of
Amen. In Deuteronomy 22:5, where it says a man should not put on an opportunity unto a woman and the woman should not put on a man's garment. Now, when you are, because you have wrong interpretation, you think, you start applying it to should a woman wear trousers, should a woman wear skirt, or things like that. Right? And last week we saw it, that actually men wore skirts in scriptures, right? Men wore skirts. So Moses wasn't writing about skirt or trousers, right? Right? Did you see that? So what was writing about wasn't skirt or trousers. So you have to reread it well. Glory to God.
Because when your
interpretation is wrong, automatically your application will be very wrong. Hallelujah. There's a woman say,
they gave all their earrings and their jewelry.
Have you seen that? Eh? They say, bring all your idols. That was Jacob, you know. Let's go ahead. That's not what we're looking at today. So that is very important. So what you find in the epistles will be interpretation of scriptures to their audience. Did you see that? To their audience. With the four gospels in the background. Did you see that? What you find as epistles will be interpretation of the 39 books to their audience. The audience of the epistles. With what are the background? The four gospels. Right? Hallelujah. The four gospels, the epistles will call, or put it this way, this is because the four gospels will be the unifier of all the ages. We're going to see that. The four gospels is the unifier of the ages. The epistles will call the four gospels, the epistles will call the four gospels the end of the world has come. Something like that. You find it. Say the end of the world has come. He's not talking about rapture, though. He's talking about the unifier.
Hallelujah.
Which is the four gospels. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Therefore, if I see it like that, I will then go back again and reread Hebrews chapter 7. Look at Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7. Let's deal with something there in Hebrews 7. Remember, they're writing to their audience, and I have to sit in the seat of their audience first, right? Now, let's get back to Hebrews 7. Amen. Hebrews 7. From verse 1 to 3. Therefore, this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. That is Genesis 14. Let's rush down to Genesis 14. And go on. Put your hands in Genesis 14. He says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, for being by interpretation the king of righteousness. And after that also king of Salem, which is king of priests. The three where people have misconceptions. They say, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, was made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. You see that? Hallelujah. Now, when people read this and say, without father, without mother, without descent, you know, a lot of people begin to attach Theophany and Christophany into the picture. Christophany is the theory that says God has incarnated before the four gospels. You understand me? That God has reincarnated. So it's not, some people say the four gospels is not an incarnation but a reincarnation. Amen? Well, that is very wrong. Because if you say that is very wrong, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some people have said it was Melchizedek is God that came, God became a man and came to Abraham so that he can see his seed. That Abraham can see his seed. Well, as nice as that can sound as Rema, God came and Abraham saw his seed. My seed will be without beginning of this, my end of this. As nice as it sounds as Rema, it destroys every fundamental of theology. Hallelujah. It destroys it. It doesn't follow the fundamentals of theology. It couldn't have been God. Melchizedek couldn't have been God. Hallelujah. And the reason people have this issue is because verse 3 of Hebrews 7, writer of Hebrews said, without father, without mother. Without the beginning of days, nor end of life. You see that? He said, this is only God. This is eternal rock of ages. That is eternity. He didn't have beginning of days. He was not born. How about that forever? He wasn't born. So God showed Abraham his seed. I've exalted like this. Abraham, God showed Abraham his seed that his seed will not have beginning of days, nor end of life. We don't have beginning of days. We are made like God. Lenush. Hallelujah. Go to God. Just doing your own. Hallelujah. Now let's do an analysis. Right? I want you now to be the writer of Hebrews. Are you with me? Now you are writing to an Hebrew audience. See, the audience of the writer of Hebrews knew what he was talking about. They didn't have an issue with it. Well, you know, years have gone by. And we are now dragging. Is this messy? No. Now let's go back to this where they read from. Because to sit in the seat of the first audience, you have to read what they read, right? So when he talks about Melchizedek, everybody quickly open their Bible to Genesis 14, right? Number two is that Genesis was not written in chapters and verses. So they will have to look for it, right? So everybody, let's get to Genesis 14. Are you in Genesis 14? Okay. Okay. Look at verses 18. It says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought bread and wine.
And he was the priest of the Most High God. Did you see that? And blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. He called Abraham of the Most High God. Did you see that? He blessed Abraham. Glory to God. And then what did Abraham do? Abraham, verse 20, delivered to him title of all. Now look at it. From what you've read, did you see beginning of days, no end of life? Did you see without father, without mother? So that means, what was the writer of Hebrews doing? Hope you're following me. Yeah? Let's get back to Hebrews. Let's see what he was saying. Hope you're following me. Now let's go back to Hebrews. Let's see what he was doing. Hebrews 7. That's how you read your scripture. You go back because he was writing from somewhere. Hallelujah. So you go back again to see. Look at verse 2. He says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Is that Genesis? Now it says, first, being by interpretation. So that means what he was doing is what? An interpretation. Let's see what he was interpreting. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Let's see what it was. Look at verse 11. He said, if therefore the profession were made by the Levite priesthood. Okay, let me see something. Look at verse 15. He said, and it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, after the similitude of Melchizedek, there has arisen another priest, who is made not after the law or carnal commandment, you see, but after the power of an endless life. So he, whatever thing he wrote as the interpretation, was to show a light of Christ. You understand this? So get back to verse 3. It says, verse 4 rather. Sorry, back to verse 3. Is it without father, without mother, without descent, having begun at the beginning of days, no end of life, but made life. Did you see that? Made life the Son of God. So that means what he was doing was an interpretation. Right? And he was converting the gospel to an Hebrew audience. Did you see that? Hope you're following me. He didn't say the Son of God was made like Melchizedek. No. He said he was made like that is interpretation as he was teaching an audience so they would believe. Hope you're following me. Now here is the argument he put forth. Are you with me? Glory to God. So I'm taking it from where we stopped the last time. Now how many of you remember when I taught this the last time? Just a few weeks back. Right? So we're taking it up from there. Hallelujah. So when he says without father, without mother, remember we didn't see that in Genesis. Right? So what is he saying? It simply implies what he was saying, that Moses didn't give us the genealogy without father nor mother. And he was saying, he brings that in. He didn't say he was not born. Hallelujah. He says, because Moses didn't give us his genealogy, he said he was without father nor mother. Hope you're following me. That is what he meant. Hallelujah. But he is a king of Salem. When he uses the word king of Salem, Salem is a known place. Hallelujah. Salem was a known place. We also have Jerusalem. Jerusalem means is actually Jerusalem, a place of peace. Do you see that? So Jerusalem is a place in Salem. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. So he was the king of Salem.
Let me give a translation.
Hope you're following me. Let's go further. So that means it was a place, a known place, Salem. Amen? Yeah. Let's go further. So when he says king of Salem, he shows he was a man. Hope you're following me. He was a man that was known by all. It was not just Abraham that saw him. The king there was also another king that saw him. The king of Sodom saw him. Hallelujah. So, let's go further a bit. So when he says, without father or mother, he didn't give us genealogy. Moses didn't. Hallelujah. Also, so that means he didn't have genealogy, right? He had genealogy. So, now look at it this way. He didn't have father or mother, it's not that he was not born. No. He was telling you Moses did not tell us. Right? So he employed that. It's something you're going to learn. We're going to learn. He employed that principle. Right? Moses didn't tell us. So we're going to see something. Okay. Let me see if I have it. Oh, I do. So let's continue. Hallelujah. I do. So let me not jump the gun. Let's take it later. Now, I said he was a man like every other man. Right? Because Salem is a place. Also, when he says he was a priest continually. And the question, you know, I'm saying this also so that I can repeat some of us. You know why? Those of you who have heard me years back, you know I'm repeating it. Even. So, I don't think anybody here was in that class. That was a class of 2007. Nobody here was there. Not even your pastor. Hallelujah. So it's good I repeat it. Hallelujah. So, when it says a priest continually, when he said priest continually, he wasn't saying Melchizedek is still a priest today. He's a priest today. So, a question that we couldn't answer years back. He's still a priest. So that means, how many high priests do we have? If you say he's still a priest forever, then he's still a priest, that will have two. We have Jesus and Melchizedek. No. What I'm trying to say that is not the Bible calls him high priest. Priest. Okay. Okay, let's go to priest. They were priests. You're talking about us. Okay. No more. Let's he's just stupid. So it's premised on feeble water. Hallelujah. Premised on just water. It has no foundation, no roots. Hallelujah. But don't see what Moses is writing about. When he says with a priest continually, he's saying that was all we knew about him. Did you see that he was Dangote? He had other business. That was all we knew. That he was a priest. Right? And we didn't hear that his priesthood was cut short. Right? So he was he was doing an interpretation and it brought up just like I say, I'm writing a book and I write Sister Simisola of the Most High God. Right? Visited Sister M.M. Okon from the Okon's family in Akwa Ibom, Uyo. Did you see? Somebody has a genealogy you can trace. So why the other one doesn't have? So, and I'm pick out the one that has no genealogy. Because I want to write about someone else. So I say, I now magnify the fact that she is without beginning of this, no end of this, because I was not shown. Hope you're following me. It's a technique in writing. Hallelujah. So, the writer of Hebrews now did that. Excellently well, he did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He wasn't saying he's still a priest today. So this shows they were interpreting scriptures, one, to the audience. Now look at it. Therefore, remember I said you have to sit in the seat of the two audience, right? Right? Now, something else you need to see. He says he was made like the Son of God. So that means he was about writing about Jesus, listening to an audience, and he wants to show the everlasting priesthood of Jesus with the fact that his God became a man. Then he goes back to the priesthood that they know. Right? Now, he didn't use Aaron. Aaron was a known priesthood. But no, he used someone that Aaron will be found where? Aaron, the Levite, right? Will be found where? In Abraham. He's trying to show his superiority. And he said, Abraham gave a tithe. To who? To one. Who is Melchizedek? Now, he's building a point. I don't say that's Melchizedek. We're not told he had this father nor mother.
He's trying to show you eternity
in Christ. And he said, he has no father nor mother. Because we were not told. Hallelujah. He's a silent righteous. We were not told. He now says, not just that. We were not told of his priesthood ever ended. Moses was silent about it. So he built on that and talked about he was made like. So that means his figure was to show something, a shadow. Doesn't mean he is or he is that person. Hope you're following that. That's not what he's writing about. Glory, hallelujah. I hope you got it this time. Amen? And there are no gray areas in your mind. Glory to God. That's what he's writing about. Now, let that say. I will get back to Matthew 28, verse 20. Okay, no, before I get to Matthew 28. So that means, as a Bible student, I have to sit in the seat of the two audiences. Did you see there are two audiences now? The audience of the writer of Hebrews, right? And which audience again? Moses' audience. Glory to God. Glory to God. Moses' audience is reading Moses writing Melchizedek. And what was he reading from? What were they reading from Melchizedek? Moses is writing to talk about root theology. What are you following? So what is Moses writing? Listen to me. When Moses was documenting that, can we say that Moses was telling them that, hey, don't look at the Levites. Look at the one that the Levites paid to. Did you see that? So the Levite is not supreme. Come on. Because the Levite, that was the point, that was what the rest of Hebrews were building. The Levite. No, they were like, oh, the Levites are too holy. Yes, supreme. No. He said, no, don't look at them. Right? Take your eyes off the Levite. There is one who has no beginning or end of days that the Levite will pay account to. Then he brings in Melchizedek in Abraham's story and takes away the genealogy. That is a style in writing. Hope you're following this. Glory to God. You see that when I spoke about Sister Simi and Sister Emem, I can't write about the history of Sister Simi. I can't, right? But because of the style of writing, I decided to neglect it. It's at the prerogative of the writer. He neglects it and shows it the other person because he's building a point. But he tells you he's a king of somewhere so that you don't think that person is what eternal. Amen? Glory to God. Amen. So he takes away the genealogy. That was just what the writer of Hebrew has just done, was to reopen Moses again for you to see. It was the style of writing. So I have to sit in the seat of those two audience, right? So first of all, I found myself in the seat of the writer of Hebrews audience. As I begin to read, down to Genesis, I go to Moses' audience again and see. Oh, this is what Moses is saying. Oh, this is what, that is it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, it says, teaching them, in the brethren you have the local church. The local church is where we teach the scriptures. Hallelujah. See all these things I've done? Glory to God. The local church. Hallelujah. So the church, or put the local church, is where God wants us to be trained to know Him. To understand scripture. Amen? Amen? Does God want us to know Him emphatically? Yes. Okay. Very important. So last week, we began looking at the local church, right? And we saw how to behave towards those who are leaders in the local church. We say the local church will have leaders. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. From verses 28, he gave, First Corinthians 12. Verse 28, he says, and God has set some. God has set some in the church. He says, first apostles, right? Second prophet, right? Third teacher. He says, after that, miracles, the gift of healing, and we said he's not saying the first in hierarchy, the order is apostles,
then the apostle, the prophet, I mean the teacher will report to the prophet, prophet to apostle.
I bet someone said that nonsense.
Hallelujah. He, what is used? Well, he uses the Greek word proton, apostelos, tetros, prophetikon, and then that of the, now is the proton is a model, right? But he writes that in relation to the book of Acts. He said God has set this in the church. He was looking at, you remember, at the background is what? The four gospel and the book of Acts.
Right?
So what do we, who do we have first revealed in the book of Acts? The apostles. Did you see that? It's something we will see. Apostles, they will find prophets. Yeah, right? Like the apostles and the prophets. You find that in the book of Acts. They were revealed like that. The apostles and the prophets, they were called. They now have, and they were called prophetikon because of, you have to go back and reveal. Why I'm not saying most of these things is because I have to teach you. I have to teach you, or I have to do pneumatic or something, be able to marry all these things together. So, there's a reason why they were called prophets. Right? Why were they called apostles? They were called, apostles means sent one. So they were called apostles because of Luke 10. He sent them out. I mean, yeah, Matthew 10. He sent them out. So that sending out is the apostolos. Hope you are following me. Agabus was called a prophet. Why? He was called a prophet because of what he said. Acts of Apostles chapter 11. He prophesied. Hope you are following me. The daughters of Philip were called prophet because they prophesied. Amen? Amen? Paul now explains this in 1 Corinthians 14. Talking about utterance, and he says, he now calls the man who flows with utterance and said, the prophet, a prophet. You see that? So a prophet, that is how you build in teaching. Amen? Amen? So it's not, so what do we now have the divider? He said, after that, epital. Epital is used for a dividing line. That means we have the apostles, prophet teachers as leaders, they will not have that as the members. Just very simple for you to see. Hallelujah. Amen. We did all that last week, right? Right? I have a witness in your house? Okay. Not Jehovah Witness, but a witness. Hallelujah. Amen. Go. So let's see this today. Amen. So where were we? Yeah, I'm there. I know. So, let's begin to look at the role, their role, the role of the local church and the leaders. Right? So you have leaders. You say, one, your leaders are in charge of your life. Right? They watch over your soul and you must honor them. Hallelujah. You should honor them. Honor your pastors with your substance. Paul says, my pastor is my pastor. How many times have you honor is in two ways. You don't honor one and leave the other one. So you like talking honor. Let us honor. You honor with your word and with your substance. This is the Bible. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's move. So, what are the roles? First, the role of the church, the local church, the role of the pastors, prophets, and teachers is that of what? Teaching. Ephesians 4. Before we get to Ephesians, it says teaching them. Did you see that? Teaching them. Matthew 28. Teaching them. So the local church is where we are taught. I said something last week that I want to say it again. I said, and we're going to look at it a bit today. We said, there can't be spiritual growth
outside the gathering. You can never have spiritual growth. I'm talking both from the written word and from experience. You can. You can never have spiritual growth. In fact, even if you have spiritual growth before, and you go outside the garden, you will lose it. Spiritual growth can be lost. Amen? Spiritual growth can be lost. If you say, I thought I was growing, you lost it.
Hallelujah.
You know? Maybe someone so committed, teaching the word, you think? You know what I mean? Eh? What's the move, bro? Say, no, I don't think you will take Benson. How many junior you? Amen.
There we go.
Okay. Now let's get on this. Look at Ephesians 4. Back to Ephesians 4 where we were a bit earlier. Ephesians 4, verses 11. It says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. That is, for the perfecting of the saints. Now we're going to see this as we progress. Not today, but as we progress. It's usually for the perfecting of the saints. It says, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, oikodomio, or the edifying of the body of Christ. Now look at something. It says, see, we all come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of God. He has said, therefore be no more children. Look at verse 13. He says, knowledge. So that means the role of the local church is knowledge. Teaching. You see that? Now the next part will now tell you, the teaching is of what? We be no more children, spiritual growth. You see that? So teaching becomes vital. We're going to explore this teaching. I said it's a teaching that will be a bit late. Hallelujah. I know that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we need to know what really spiritual growth is all about. Spiritual growth, what is it? I don't know. How do you think I'm going spiritual? I say, I know the word, all the Greek. I know nothing. I'm not spiritual growth.
Hallelujah.
Come back for me. Not spiritual growth. So he says, we be no more children. So that means the place of the teaching of the word is for spiritual growth. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So teaching is vital. It is the role of the pastor. The number one role of the pastor, prophet, evangelist, apostle is teaching. Teaching. An apostle is a teacher. I heard that first from Kenneth Hagin. Though I didn't understand it, I heard it again from Pastor Shelley. An apostle is first a teacher. What are you hearing me? First a teacher. A prophet is first a teacher. A pastor is first a teacher. Who was called pastor first? Jesus is a pastor. I hope you know. John 10. He said, I am the good shepherd. Hallelujah. He calls himself the shepherd. So the pastor is the poimen, the shepherd. Hope you are following me. So Jesus is the shepherd. What do we find Jesus doing all the time? He was teaching. Hope you are following that. He was teaching. So a pastor is a teacher. In John 21:15, he called Peter the pastor. Feed my sheep. You see that? To feed my sheep is the role of a poimen. Is this the word poimen? Feed my sheep. He is a shepherd. What are you doing? That means Peter is a pastor. What do we find him do? In Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 14, he taught. What are you doing? He taught. In Acts 2, he taught. In Acts 3, he taught. The teaching in Acts 3 spilled into Acts 4. Acts 5, he was the pastor in the church. He taught. What are you following that? In Acts 6, he said, we'll give ourselves continually to the ministry of the word and to prayer. He taught. Praise of the word. Glory to God. Or Acts 7 was who? Stephen. Stephen, being a deacon, he taught. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Follow you that. Acts 10. Let's jump to 10. Acts 10. Who do we find? We found Peter in the house of Cornelius. What was he doing? Teaching. Very important. Acts 9. Paul's conversion. You know, it's not Paul's conversion, it's Saul's conversion. His Christian name, the Christian name for Saul is Paul. Saul and Paul, you see, there was no name change. You just understand Saul. Saul is actually Jewish. Paul is Roman. Just, it's just translation.
Amen?
Amen? Glory to God. How about Jesus? No, the reason why your priests are not moving away from you is your name. Look at Paul. Paul was just bearing Saul. Because of what happened to Saul in the Old Testament, when he became born again, he had to change his name. Scripture and verse. You see? Just translation. Yeah. Glory to God. Hey! How are you looking like this?
Yes, I'm looking.
You can have theology outside translation. Get it? Because God uses man's language. Amen? That's the beauty of it. You ready to go? What am I following you? God uses man's language.
Amen.
You know, some of you, when you go to some Islamic country, your name change. What do you know? You don't know? You don't have to write your name in Arabic. Let's come out of it before that he not spoke Greek and what? Aramico, not Arabico. That must be the same. See you next time. I need to clear. Aramica. Okay, follow you.
Okay.
See, you have to rewrite your name. Maybe Apostle Simba. Now they answer another name. Apostle. Just leave. Now the Alahaji. Alhaji Jubri Basusi. Yeah. Alhaji Jubri Basusi. Say, who's that? He said, what's the name of Jesus? He said, no, my name is Simba. He said, no, sir, you are Afa. That is the translation, sir. He said, oh, sorry, sir. Yeah. So that settles a whole lot of issues in your mind. Well, when the issue of Yahuwah, Yahushua, and the rest, and they say, oh, even the Yahuwah,
is the Hebrew name of
God in Hebrew was a translation. So don't be stupid. Come back, look at it again. Hallelujah, you got something? Look at me. That's the truth. So you say, what about Jesus is the Greek meaning of the Hebrew name Joshua? Or Jesus is the English version of the Greek name Isaac for the Hebrew name Joshua.
Amen.
Up of Jesus? So stop deceiving yourself. Just name. Because you can't have theology outside translation. Hope you're hearing me. You must have to translate. Because you are talking to your audience. You must use words in your world. What if tomorrow they now scrap the name S in dictionary? You don't, they can't. How will you be able to pronounce smart? No, you can't. They scrap it, you have to replace it with something. Maybe M is, S is now replaced with another name later. Let us say, maybe after Z, something else. Or replace or S with P. I wonder how they'll be able to pronounce my name. The same way you are pronouncing Saul as S-A-U-L as Saul. Somebody will go, Yahoo. 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 You guys are men. Hallelujah.
Calming down. Don't. I love what Kenneth Hagin says. There are some things you don't build a church over. Okay, wait. Build a church over unnecessary things that are not doctrinal. That doesn't have the weight of doctrine. What they do? We are sisters kept brothers trousers wearing ministry. Are you normal? That being a church over children.
Hallelujah. We are following you. It's very important. So let's go.
Translation. We'll do a lot of translation.
As the core, one of the core, not the core, one of the core of Bible interpretation.
We are following you. Very vital. Okay. Where were we? Where were we? Okay. So, the role of the pastor is to teach, right? The ministry office is teaching. It says to we all call to the what? Unity of faith. Now, this call unity of faith a place we are going to go. Unity of faith will be the knowledge. That means we are supposed to. The role of the pastor is that of knowledge, teaching. Amen? Amen?
So we'll look at Peter, right? Paul. Oh wait, that was why I started talking about Saul and Saul and the rest. Now, Paul. Remember I told the book of Acts, right? We have two major characters in Acts. Peter into Paul. And because the book of Acts was a defense for Paul, right? It was like a lawyer's brief. I've said that over and again. Lawyer's brief for Paul. Paul's defense. The book of Acts was written around Acts 28. So it was written in Paul's defense. Because Paul was sentenced to castration. He was in castration. So Luke now writes in Paul's defense to Theophilus. Now he writes to Theophilus. He's writing about Paul. He has to start from Luke 1. He has to write about Jesus. Now if you watch, look at this. I want you to look at me. Look at this. Luke will write about Jesus, Peter and Paul. And he will write it in defense. He will show you how Jesus suffered, right? In the hands of the Jews. Who was Paul suffering under the hands? The Jews. So he writes it and he was elaborate. He makes you see. Then he writes that Jesus taught these miracles. Very similar. You find in Jesus, he taught, he prayed, he taught, he did miracles. Right? And he was killed. By who? The Jews. Right? He comes again to the book of Acts. He sees, he flows into Acts, Peter, and he tells you Jesus handed over to Peter. Now, he flows into the book of Acts. What do you find? You find Peter taking the mantle from who? Jesus. Now, you find Peter. Peter is loud. Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It shows you that Peter was flogged like Jesus. Who? By who? The Jewish leaders. You see that? They told him not to preach the name of Jesus. Who? The Jewish leaders. In chapter 5, he was flogged. The Jewish leader. Can you see that trend? Do we find miracles too with Peter? Miracles, signs and wonders? Do we find him teach? We do. Hope you are seeing that. He was beaten. Right? When you get into Acts 8, it shows you where Paul came into the scene. Or deliberate writing theology with this is that genealogy. So therefore you can something we're going to see by end of the year is you can't take away genealogy from theology. You can't. I'm from Genesis. Hallelujah. Because God is the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. So you find him in genealogy. Abraham, Isaac and Jacob is genealogy. Hope you're following me. Abraham, Isaac and Jacob is genealogy, so you find God like that. Genealogy therefore will be found, or genealogy therefore will be theology. So you can take it away, so you can take away history from theology. Amen? Because God will be known in all ages as God. So you write that. By Acts 9, Paul came to the scene, gradually Paul begins to take the mantle from who? Peter. You see that? By Acts 13, he was sent forth. His first major teaching, Acts 13. Did you see that? He taught in Acts 13.
Acts 15. That was when the issue started. They were dragging and teaching Lord Moses. They had that drag. They came back to the local assembly, sorted it out. When before he went again, what happened? Who took Paul? The Jews.
Paul again, the Jews. Hallelujah. The Jews took Paul. How did they see the same church? Did they flog it? Practically, you find it all true. So what he's saying, what Luke is writing is telling you, what is happening to Paul has happened before. Hallelujah. Did Paul later get out of the incarceration emphatically? Yes. So Luke's brief work. Oh, you have a lady. But he showed it. He taught like Jesus would teach. Right? He prayed. We find him praying in Acts 9. He prayed like Jesus would do. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So you find similarities between those three. Amen. Glory to God. So you could say the book of Acts. I said that because of what I told you last week. That the book of Acts is the book of, not the book of the act of the apostles, but the book of the acts of who? Two apostles, Peter and Paul. Right? So that's why I should say, we just see the trend. Oh, Jesus was declared not having a fault by Pontius Pilate. He showed you too. Gamaliel said Peter didn't have a fault. Therefore, Paul too wouldn't have a fault. First of all, Antipas saw it. Guys will have fault. Hallelujah. He's just a defense. And in that defense, you don't have theology. Hallelujah. Hope you're in church. Hope you're in church. I hope you're understanding it.
Aha. Thank you. Let's go ahead. Thank you for understanding. Well, how about that for theology? Amen. So let's round this up quick.
So the role of the pastor is what? Teaching first. Hallelujah, teaching.
I showed you that even look at Paul. Paul said he taught the 12 people. Some of you, you get tired because you are following up only 5 people. 12 people say, after 1 month, no. He taught 12 people, right? For the space of 2 years. And after he was done teaching them, they now became elders. What was the result? And so mightily grew the word of God in Ephesus. Hallelujah! Hope you are following me. Now when he says so mightily grew the word of God, it means men got saved and joined the church. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Nobody did the word of God doesn't mean there were people now doing town criers everywhere. No. It means people got saved and were found in church. That is the growth. Hallelujah. Okay, following that. So teaching. Very vital. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, a qualification for a bishop. Verse 3. It says verse 2. It says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, a good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. That word apt to teach is the word didaktikos. It's the word that means he is skillful in teaching. Skillful. So a pastor is a teacher. Titus 1:9. Are you following me? A pastor is a teacher. Verses 9, talking about a bishop. And for verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, not striker, not given to filthy lookers. He said, but lover of hospitality, a lover of men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may by sound doctrine to exalt and to convince gainsayers. Did you see that? Sound doctrine. So a bishop must be skillful in teaching. A bishop is a pastor. A pastor shouldn't be a novice.
A pastor mustn't be a novice.
No. Shouldn't be a novice. A pastor is skillful in teaching the word. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. So why will he teach the word? What is the end point
for teaching the word?
2 Timothy 3 verse 16. Let's read that together. 2 Timothy 3. Look at verse 16. It says, for all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God.
It says, and is profitable for what? Doctrine. You see, doctrine there is what the didascalia teaches, right?
Profitable for doctrine. 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 Doctrine is teaching. So that means scripture is given for to be taught. So for doctrine, it says for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Very important. So it shows you what you find in the doctrine. It says what you find in doctrine reproof, the end point will be what? Instruction in righteousness. It is the word there, paideia. Paideia is used for spiritual growth. So that means what would you have in teaching? Spiritual growth. Hope you're following me. You will find spiritual growth in teaching. And where will you be taught primarily?
In the local church. So the local church gives us that platform where we are taught God's word.
In fact, not gives us the platform. The local church is the platform where we are taught God's word. A local church is a platform for our spiritual growth. So that means spiritual growth will be found in the local church, not found outside the local church. It will be found first and foremost and forever in the local church. Hope you are hearing me.
Glory to God. We're found in the local church.
You can find spiritual growth on the street. It's in the church. Hallelujah. We're going to get to explore all this in the coming days. Hallelujah.
So, as we round up, what do we find in teaching? What do we find in the teaching of God's word? Is that we have reproof. Hallelujah. Reproof.
Now, reproof. Now, I want to get this. Reproof is where you have the word evidence for. In Hebrews, the same word is given in Hebrews 11:1. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It says the evidence. So that means, in the teaching of God's word, you have evidence in scriptures. Evidence. Reproof. Reproof. You have evidence. You find evidence in God's word. It says correction. Epatonosis. Epatonosis means to be corrected. Like you are restraining. To get straightened. To go back to where you ought to be. To be corrected. Hallelujah. It says research and righteousness. Look at chapter 4. He tells him preach the word in verse 2 of 2 Timothy 4. He said preach the word preach the word, be eastern in season and out of season. Now use another word, reprove.
Then says rebuke. So that means in the teaching of God's word, in the preaching of God's word, you have rebuke. Really, you can't even teach or preach. Because in the teaching of God's word, you have preaching. So they have a preacher. Someone has said, I'm a preacher, you are a teacher. What nonsense is that? To preach means to announce. And in teaching, what do? You preach.
Hallelujah. So that's the same.
Glory to God. Because in Keruso, you have Kerugma. Kerugma means the content, the teaching.
Hallelujah.
So that's the same.
Glory to God. Say, no, preaching is when you are shouting. Teaching is when you are quiet. You have chalkboard. No, sorry. Whiteboard. That's the same. Whether there's whiteboard or not, is the same.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Someone was asking that question yesterday. I said, sir, is using whiteboard while teaching, is it scriptural? I said, is it? Say, how? Let's read the Bible well. You can use whiteboard.
Hallelujah. Most of the time, in women who use whiteboard,
who use board, if they are called, have they?
Glory to God. Who teach? Glory to God. He's teaching. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So where were we?
So you fight rebuke.
Now rebuke, come on. Rebuke, something we'll see next week is the fact that you can have rebuke repeatedly. In fact, rebuke is something that is repeated. You can have it repeated.
Hallelujah. Yes, and it's all for spiritual good. Those things are no, you can have it repeated. Hallelujah. And it's all for spiritual growth.
A man who is growing spiritually doesn't despise rebuke, doesn't despise correction. He receives correction happy. Hope you're following. Amen? Something very important. Someone said, no, I don't need a church to grow spiritually. I'm quoting someone. All I need is just to know, just listen to messages online. No. You listen to messages online, sir. I know. I listen to your messages. And I've been discipled. If you are, I don't want to use if I am going to be mild. I'll call you destitute. I want to be mild. You are nothing but, let me not even use another word, a vagabond, a wanderer. You are not being pastored, you are not being discipled. Because, something you're going to see, the role of a pastor in teaching the word goes beyond, we're going to see, goes beyond just coming every Sunday to give you the word of God. Let me see. No, it goes beyond that. Spiritual growth. Why is not found outside the local church? Because there is more to spiritual growth than meets the eye. That's what that says for sake. And therefore you will see yourself. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Spiritual growth will be found in you being pastored. I'm going to say that. In you being pastored. So you will find teaching will be part of it, but will not be all of it. Hallelujah. That's why I see people after knowing a whole lot from social media, from internet, from listening to messages, yes! You can't say they are spiritually growing. Why is that? Why can't you say it? Get to the end of this teaching. We'll begin to know what spiritual growth is. Hallelujah. We are following this. Some people misunderstand spiritual growth for knowing the word. It's part of it. What is not it? Hallelujah. It's not it. Glory to God. But it's part of it. So you have touched the word of God for spiritual growth. And that is why Paul will say you find reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Where? In the teaching of the word for spiritual growth. Teaching is there, but there's reproof and correction. Hallelujah. Most times the reproof and corrections might not come from when your pastor is teaching. It might come from open rebuke. Right? Where Paul said that brother in the church at Corinth, you should do what? You should give him to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. He was talking about open rebuke. He didn't say, open to Matthew. No, sorry, open to Matthew. Open to Genesis and rebuke him openly. No, this would be an open rebuke. Right? But he says that his soul will be saved. That is good. Hallelujah. Is the role of the pastor. We're not saying everybody should be, no, but just the role of the pastor. Hallelujah. That boy was already misbehaving in the church at Colossae. And Paul said, say to that brother. Right? So, as they are able now turn to the brother. Bro! Right? Bro! Why? It's for spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Amen. For spiritual growth. Glory to God. So spiritual growth includes answering scripture, includes teaching of the word, but it's not all of it. Hallelujah. So I trust God. I trust God that by the end of this teaching, our eyes will be opened more. Hallelujah. Our eyes will be opened more to appreciate not just the work of your pastor and the local church, but to appreciate the teaching of God's word for spiritual growth. And then we'll find it, we'll find spiritual growth much more evident in how we serve God in our local church. Saints Pavilion Church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have you learned something this evening? Just be on your feet as we time.